This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Let's have our smiling exercise. Turn and look at the person next to you and smile real big and show them your pearly whites, your 32s, your 22s, your I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right. We're going to be teaching on how to win against the odds, principles for snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And I'm excited about this. Our lesson text is going to be the story of Gideon and the odds that he was up against and how he worked with God and was able to see victory when everything looked real bad. In fact, the Bible just chronicles the lives of so many people who won against the odds. And so all of us have some odds that we're up against. And I think that this lesson will be a blessing to you if you're dreamers. If any dreamers in the house, any people got a dream? Okay, all right, that's my kind of group, amen. If you have a dream, a desire, if you have goals, then normally, of course, there are some barriers and those things that you have to deal with, overcome in order to experience your dreams, your desires, and your goals. In my own personal life, of course, I've had many barriers, many goals, many setbacks and all those sort of things. And I learned how to win. Amen. And so that's what I want to do tonight. I want to teach you how to win. This first lesson is really going to be about the art of winning, the art of winning, learning how to win. It's amazing that winners can win again and again and again because it's an art to winning. Well, let's pick the story up here in the book of Judges chapter 6, and I'll read verse 1 and 2. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds." Now, because of their enemies, they had to live like dogs. I mean, they had to live in caves. Let's pick it up. Here, of course, I don't want to read all of the story. Let's pick it up in verse 6. It says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Amen. Now go to chapter 7, and let's look here, and we will see a serious confrontation. They cried to the Lord, and God moved by calling Gideon to do something about it. And in chapter 7, we see a confrontation being set up. Right. Let me just kind of bring you up to date. God talks to Gideon, an angel speaks to him, and Gideon really is kind of nonchalant about the whole thing. The angel appears to him and say, "You mighty man of valor," and Gideon looks around like, "Who you talking to?" And then the angel shares with Gideon that God has selected him to deliver the people. And then Gideon pretty much goes off on the angel and goes, "Well, all right, well, if God is all this, how come we don't have what we supposed to have? And where be all the miracles our fathers told us about?" Kind of like you do when you hear a message on faith and prosperity, you know. "Well, if God is all that, why am I going through what I'm going through?" And so Gideon was kind of like that. And then, of course, through a series of events, he understood it was God talking to him. And after understanding it was God talking to him, then God gave him a battle plan. And the battle plan was a little strange because instead of increasing his army, God decreased his army to about 300. Because when you win God's way, he wants to get the credit. Amen. When you win God's way, he wants to get the credit. And let's pick the story up in chapter 7 and verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man to his place." So God is saying to Gideon, that he's going to take 300 men and he's going to overcome the odds. His enemy is in the valley, and his enemy is so numerous that they can't count them all. And Gideon starts out with about 22,000. God reduces the ranks to 10,000. And now God reduces it to 300. And God tell him, I know the odds look bad. I know you probably never seen anything like this before. But I'm going to take the 300 and we're going to win. A win with the hand you've been dealt with.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Look at the person that's saying, I'm going to win with the hand that I've been dealt. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. All right. All right. Now, so let's talk about the art of winning, because I think this ancient story really has several parallels. In this ancient story, there is the inferiority that most of us feel when it comes up to when it comes to pursuing our dreams. It's one thing to dream, but it's another thing to pursue it. What kind of dreams do we have in the house tonight? Come on, give me some dreams. Y'all work with me tonight. What kind of dreams do we have tonight? He says, expand. What kind of dreams? Oh, y'all don't want to talk. All right. How about home? How about home? Anybody got a dream for a home? Buying a home. Okay. How about own your own business and be successful? Not just own, because most businesses fail. Own your own business, be successful. Amen. How about just going on vacation, taking your family on vacation, your entire family on vacation, and enjoying yourself? Amen. Praise the Lord. How about just getting out of debt? Okay, that hit a nerve. That hit a nerve. Okay, we all have dreams, but when we have dreams, the first thing we feel is this kind of sense of, like Gideon, he had a sense of inferiority. He began to talk about his background. He said, you don't understand. I'm the least in my father's house, and my father's tribe is the least tribe around. Number two, Gideon has this sense of inadequacy. In other words, get you somebody else. I'm not your man. You got it? Get you somebody else. I don't have any experience. Then number three, there is this sense of, I like to call it insufficiency. I just don't have enough to work with. If I had thus, that's what we normally do when we want to make an excuse. If I had a better this, a better that, then I would be a good candidate to see my dreams come true. I'm here to tell you that there is an art to winning, and most people in the Bible who won against the odds. I was amazed when the Holy Spirit told me that. And I just started looking at the people in the Bible who win. You know, David had the odds against him. Big giant, no experience, but he won. Right? I mean, you just go down the list. I mean, Joshua at Jericho, odds against him. City walled up, nobody going in, nobody coming out. Big walls, no experience in a lot of battles, and yet they win. All throughout the Bible, Jehoshaphat, surrounded by his enemies, no way out, and yet he wins. So it looks like when there's a difficult situation, it's a setup for God to come through so he can show himself strong, so his testimony in the earth is established. In other words, those who win against the odds have to win God's way. And when we win God's way, he gets the glory. Now go to Psalms 1. Psalms 1, the art of winning. Understanding the art of winning. And when we talk about an art of something, we're talking about a specialized skill, a demonstration of something that is specialized with excellence. Gideon has something else that's common to us. He had a promise. See, he had a promise from God that God was going to back him up. And we have a promise from God that he'll back us up if we will believe it. Now, that's what I'm going to work on tonight. I'm going to work on tonight getting you to believe God. Because a lot of folks, I told my pastors, my pastors in my last pastor's meeting with them, I said, one of these days we're going to believe the Bible. No. And you're laughing too. But one day you're going to really believe that that's the word of God. It can be counted on. And if you will act on it, you'll see God show up. I mean, one of these days we're going to believe it. So let's say we can stir up in you some faith to believe the Bible. That's my whole objective tonight. As we talk about this art of winning, I want you to believe the Bible. All right, Psalms 1. Now, this is a familiar passage, so this is no new deep revelation. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and I want you to underline this, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall what? Shall prosper. It's amazing that those who win in one arena are able to win in other arenas. There's something about the art of winning. Learning how to win, then you can, everything you touch, you can win at it. Now, when we talk about winning now, we have to really define it for the people of God, because we can't win like the world win. Amen. And here's my working definition for winning. Winning is a lifelong endeavor for the believer. It's a lifelong endeavor, progressive in its pursuit. It requires overcoming setbacks, outlasting opposition, while realizing goals. Working within the rules that God established in a manner that glorifies God. That's one of the classic IV Hilliard definitions. Now, did you get that? Get the tape. Winning for the believer is a lifelong pursuit. In other words, the game we're in is a lifelong game. And it doesn't end till I die. So when I talk about winning, I'm not talking about a certain situation. That's just a segment of the game. Amen. So it may look like I'm behind, but at the end, I'm going to win. You got to get your head, got to get your minds renewed on this. See, believers got to understand that the one who calls the end of the game is not the situation you're going through. But God looks at us winning on the overall scope of life. Amen. So the power to define is the power to determine destiny. Everybody say that. The power to define is the power to determine destiny. Yes. All right. So if I let somebody else define winning for me, now I got to play by their rules. But when I let the Word of God define winning for me, then I'm settling understanding that I may be in a battle that I may lose, but the game ain't over. Nobody quits if they're behind in the first quarter. In a basketball game, when they're behind in the first quarter, they don't go after the first quarter is over, they don't go to the dressing room and say, well, we lost. No, they understand we got some more quarters. Oh, this is just halftime. Maybe behind, but this is just halftime. The game ain't over. And what you have to understand, the game of life that you're in is not defined by the situation you're going through. That's just only part of the game. Amen, amen, amen. Watch this. Go within your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. So I understand that when it comes to me winning in life, that it's a lifelong pursuit. Different quarters, different setbacks, but I realize my goals. And at the end, I hear him say, well done. Amen. At the end, I glorify God. Amen, 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 amen. Now, what I'm doing now with this is I'm trying to free you up from the world's way of going after it, because everybody who crosses the finish line may not be the winner. Okay. In the world system, everybody, well, you've seen it. You've seen people cross the finish line and then they go back and drug test them and say, yeah, it looked like you won, but you didn't win right, so you lose. Right. So everybody who crosses the finish line that looked like they're winning really didn't win. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, know ye not To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So this is simply saying that whatever I yield myself to, in other words, whatever I choose to live under, then that gives direction for my life. So I'm choosing not to let the world give direction for my life, not to adopt their plan for winning, not to adopt their definition for winning. When it comes to the believer, I have to win by God's rules. So I cannot adopt the attitude that I am going to come through a situation by any means necessary. I can't do it because I got to play by the rules. All right, watch this. Turn with me your Bibles Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to man, but when the dust settles, verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So then I understand that as a believer, born again believer, I march by the drumbeat of another world. My ability to win is based on the power of God working in and through me. My ability to win is based on me following scriptural principles. Amen. Because my victory will last, whereas the wicked's victory will not. Amen. All right, watch this. Go with me in your Bibles now, and let's look at Psalms 37. Psalms 37. If I don't know the truth about this, about competition in life, then I'll think the wicked is scoring. I really think that they're getting ahead. You know, so-and-so lied to get the job. They were backstabbers. They did all this wrong. They did all the wrong things. They cheating their customers. Amen. The Bible says something about this because, I mean, we don't even have to go that way. We can go this route to identify with this. I mean, there are folk who don't go to church and they got new cars. There are folk who don't go to church and they go on vacation. There are folk who don't even go to church, don't even love the Lord, and they got a new house. And here I am, I love the Lord, I go to church, and they about to put me out in my apartment. What's up with that, God? Amen, amen, amen. Look at there, verse 35, it says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought for him, but he could not be found. So as David says, hey, yeah, one day I got disturbed about looking like the folk who were doing underhanded things, dope dealers and all that, look like they're getting ahead. But the scripture says, hey, God's the final judge. Amen, amen. Now go with me back up to verse 16. He says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. But you got to believe that. Getting it the right way and not having to look over your shoulder is better than getting it the wrong way and lack the ability to enjoy it. See, there's some things you got to settle. And if you settle it now, you won't have to be dealing with it anymore. That I'm not going to lie on an application to get the car. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't going to lie on an application to get the car. That ain't a blessing. Amen. 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 I mean, some things you have to settle because you want God's help. Yes. And in order to get God's help, you got to do it the right way. Amen. In order to live the supernatural life, you got to be convinced, you got to believe yes. that doing it God's way will work. Amen. I'm going to get you to believe tonight. I'm going to show you. Because if I can get you to believe, we're ready. Because if you don't believe all this, I can give you all the information in the world and it ain't going to help a thing. But once you believe this thing, and once you get this thing, and you are fully persuaded about this, we're ready to rumble now. Yes. Amen, amen. All right, watch this. Now go to Psalms, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Oh, I could have read this next verse. You're just going where you're going. Verse 17 says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. Here's,
his victory, his, you know, what looks like victory is going to come to naught. Well, I got a testimony I could give here, but I won't give it because I got information I got to get to. Yeah, a guy came to me. He's talking about this guy, and oh, y'all leave me alone. Yeah, you know, he's talking about this drug dealer, you know, this drug dealer and everything. And he's talking about him, how he, you know, this guy who set him up in drugs, his house was this big, his house with all. I said, man, I'm not impressed. I put that man's house inside my house. And I can enjoy mine. I ain't got to worry about nobody busting me. So you got to be convinced that you can do it God's way, do it the right way, and win. All right, not Proverbs. That was a short testimony. I didn't go long on it. Proverbs chapter 16. Are you there? All right, look at verse 8. Proverbs chapter 16. And look at verse 8. I think I can read this one. It says, better is the little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Do you believe that? Yes. See, that's the point you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to be able to look at the guy who is hooking, crooking, and stealing. You got it? And not be envious of him. Because I'm doing mine the right way. The game ain't over. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right, now, turn to Psalms 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. The success of the righteous is irrevocable. The success of the righteous, it'll last. Yes, it will. It will last. It's what the Bible called the durable riches. They last. My success. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh what?
Rich.
And he addeth no sorrow. All right. Look there in Psalms. What I tell you? 92. Look at verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. And one thing about a palm tree that is real notable is that, of course, its roots go way down and find a rock and wrap around. And when the wind blows, all other trees fall, but the palm tree stands, keeps standing. So the Bible says, when you do it the right way, you be like the palm tree. Your success is built on the rock. That is what Jesus was talking about in the parable. He said the storm came and the wind blew, but the house that was founded on the rock stood. And you gotta get an understanding. Get it down in your heart. I can do it the right way. I can do it God's way and win. It may mean that temporarily you got to pass up some things. But that's all right. I am convinced if I do it God's way, do it the right way, he's going to uphold me. If I do it God's way, do it the right way, I'm going to win. And my victory is going to be irrevocable. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody say, you got to believe it. All right, now, go to Luke chapter 14. My integrity has to guide me. So I don't adapt the attitude. I'm going to win by any means necessary. Hook or crook, not me. There are some deals I walk away from. I remember a situation where a person called me, and there was a church in a certain area I wanted to buy. But there was another minister in there struggling, trying to keep the church. And the church had, more than one occasion, the church was being foreclosed on. And the people called me and told me they'd give me the church. They want me to fight. I said, no, I can't do that. That's going under a brother for the church. I can't do that. I pass. But they're going to lose it anyway. I said, they're fighting the fight of faith. I can't interfere. Well, did they get it? No, they didn't. They lost it. Somebody else bought it. But I kept my integrity. Are you listening to me? See, you got to understand, I can do it the right way. I may pass up a deal here and there, but that's okay. That's not the end of the game. Praise the Lord. This is what sets us apart from the world. Amen. They may not understand it at first. They may look at you strange, but you got to understand, I play by the rules. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Now, Luke 14, 28, Jesus teaches us to be strategists. So we need to have a strategy. We don't just hang around and just pray. But But we develop a strategy so that we can implement a strategy. And there it is. We need to study the odds. All right. Verse 28, it says, "For which of you intending to build a tower by a house?" Which of you intending to build a tower? Get a new career. Which of you intending to build a tower? So you got to make it relevant to your situation. Because you're going to say, "I ain't building no tower." Which of you intending to build a church, build a ministry? Which of you intending to send your child to college? Which of you intend, you understand, you got to put your intent here. All right, which of you intending to build a tower? Sit it not down first and count it the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he laid the foundation is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." So the Bible tells me I need to know what the odds are. Because in the next passage, next verse, he begins to talk about a battle situation. And there it says, "Or what king going to make war against another sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. So he says, look, in life, I have to look at the odds that are against me. I got to know what the odds are. Now, when I say the odds, I'm saying this is the statistical prophecies that prophesy your doom. Okay. Statistics say you can't get a house. Got bad credit. Ain't been on your job long enough. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Statistics say people out of your neighborhood, children, don't go to college. Statistics prophesy your doom. Statistics say people who look like you can't make it. You'll always be at the bottom of the barrel because they won't give a brother a break. I mean... So I gotta be aware of the statistical prophecies against me. I don't walk in this world with blinders on. I understand that the deck may seem to be stacked against me, but that's okay. Amen, amen, amen. That's quite all right. Because I got a promise, and he's faithful who promised me. In other words, I plan to win by the rules because I got somebody helping me. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Amen. So when I'm looking at overwhelming odds, it is then that I have to believe that my God is with me and what he promised me can still come to pass. There's a boldness that has to be stirred in you. That, okay, yeah, I may not have ever seen anybody like me do what I'm attempting to do. Nobody in my family may not have ever done it. And everybody that I know don't believe I can do it either. But that's fine. Amen. That's quite all right. I just understand that those are the odds that I'm up against. But I'm not up against those odds. I want to teach this. I want to be preaching. I'm not up against those odds by myself. Greater. Come on, class. Is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We will not forfeit our spiritual advantage just because the world don't understand spiritual things. And every difficulty I face is an opportunity for promotion. Because in the Bible, every time a person faced a difficult situation and they faced it with God and they handled it God's way, they always got promoted. So that means when I face difficulty, now this is me, and this is of course my staff and anybody who's close to me can tell you, this is just how I operate. I get excited when difficulty comes. What the Bible says, we glory in tribulation. I know you don't want to, but you better. Tell me no. All right, the fight's on. Now, I'm trying to get you to catch this. See, there's an art to winning. I've been told no a whole lot of times. Don't bother me because you said no. No, today is just today. No is never no forever. So no does not deter me. My yes is out there. Come on, look at the person and say, my yes is out there. Amen, amen, amen. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 13. If I'm going to win, I got to study the odds. I study on purpose those who fail as well as those who succeed. Statistics are not a barrier for me. That's just a marker. It's just a marker, not a barrier. Don't care. Just because nobody else has ever, okay. Just because nobody else you ever had a helicopter? They went to church in? Didn't bother me one bit. I'm helping other preachers get helicopters now. And I say, I'm really helping y'all because I'm selfish. That's what you mean? I say, I'm going to spread this persecution around. See, when it becomes commonplace, everybody driving flying helicopters. Nobody mess with me anymore. Amen. Amen. All right. Now. Are you in Hebrews chapter 13? Everybody say, we study. Those who fail. As well as those who succeed. Yeah. If I'm going to learn an art and become masterful in what I do, masterful in winning, it requires some study on my part. And that's what a lot of folk, that's why they miss it. You come to church and there's a certain degree of goodness in coming and getting all excited and emotionally, you know, lifted and that kind of stuff. But bottom line, scripture says you got to study. So if I'm going to win consistently, it's because I'm a student of winning. I'm a student of the game. Amen. And I intend to win every time. Oh, wait a God, shout by myself. All right, verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith could follow, considering the end of their conversation. I ought to consider those who win, but as well as those who lose. And see, years ago, I studied preachers who lost. I studied preachers who failed. Because I decided and saw that there were common denominators among those who failed. And then those common denominators would never be a part of my life or plan. So you look at folk who fail at doing what you're trying to do. And you itemize why they fail. And you decide, I ain't gonna do that. Most preachers fail because sex. They be messing with them women. Now they be messing with the men too. So I decided I wasn't going to be messing with nobody's wife. As this is, I want to see. I ain't messing with your wife's safe from me. Ain't going to bother your wife. Ain't going to bother your children. Your father ain't going to bother your husband. Number two, they fail because they don't deal right with the money. I made up in my mind. I know what belongs to me. And I know what belongs to God. I keep what belongs to me and give God what belongs to him. Amen. I don't need to steal. If I need some, I'll ask you. Amen. And out of 21 years, I haven't had to do it but once. Amen. It only makes sense to steal. It's stupid for me to steal. Amen. Why do I need to steal when all y'all would give me if I ask you? Amen. See, I'm stupid. See what I'm saying? Amen. The other thing that destroys preachers is distractions. They get to doing things that they weren't called to do. So I decided that I understood what God told me to do, and I will do that and that alone. I don't care how you talk about me. Or you don't do this and you don't do that. That ain't what God told me to do. But you can't argue, I'm successful in what he told me to do. If I say we study those who succeed, and we study those who fail. Now, go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I have to make a personal decision to pursue winning in life. You don't have to. You can just come here and sit and warm the pews and just go to heaven. You don't have to win, be defeated. You got it? I mean, you know, you don't have to win to get to heaven. I mean, you don't have to win in life and accomplish the visions and goals. You don't have to do that just to get to heaven. Just die, you go to heaven. And you can decide to be that kind of Christian. But you won't be comfortable here at the light. No, I'm serious. New Light is not a church for those who just want to do church. We do life. And to do life, it takes something to do life. It takes in your face to do life. Because you know I love you. And I want God's best for you. And I refuse to let you be mediocre. Amen, amen. But I got to decide. Look at the person that says, I must decide that I'm going to win. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. How often? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who makes your way prosperous? Who makes your way prosperous? Who? You make your way prosperous. So you'll prosper in direct proportion of your willingness to tap into the power of God and the word of God to prosper. You prosper to the degree that you are willing to pursue it. Amen. I mean, that's the degree of prosperity you'll have. But if you never hear it, then you'll never have a desire for it. But you're going to hear it here. I am going to push you. I am your coach. I want you to win. Glory be to God. And you have to believe winning is possible. Yeah. Come on, look at the person that said, I believe winning for me is possible. Glory to God. All right, amen, amen. Yes. Now, if I believe that winning for me is possible and that God wants me to win, I will never from this day forward entertain the accusations from the devil. Now, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. I was praying the other day and God spoke to me and said, you tell my people, I don't appreciate their accusing me. Now, what you mean accusing me? By you wondering, will this really work? That is the first step to beguilement. When the devil accused God of lying to Eve. The devil came to Eve and said, did God really say that? And when you start doubting this word, you are now entertaining satanic accusations. And God says, don't do it. Like Abraham, you have to reach a point where you are fully persuaded. Now, how do I get to that point? Because you've been in church all along. How do you get to that point? You must believe the information is true. You must be saturated with the information. Everybody say saturation. I got to hear it. I got to hear it. Why am I so strong in it? I hear 2 hours of the word every day. Been doing it for 25 years. Glory to God. I believe because I'm saturated with it. Amen. Number three, I have to associate with folk who believe the word. I got to associate with folk who believe the truth. I don't need to be around any others who are doubting whether this is going to work. And years ago, I cut off everybody, redefined relationships. I redefined relationships with those, because I know how people take cut off. What do you mean cut them off? I redefined relationships. I cannot have close fellowship with you. We can't have close fellowship. I'm working on something. I can't afford to be around your doubt and your unbelief. Because possibilities for me, according to Mark chapter 9, verse 23, what's possible for me is defined by my ability to believe. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Let's see if we can wrap this segment up. So information is truth. I got to believe it's true. Two, saturation with the truth. Number three, association with the truth. And then number three, consecration to the truth. In other words, this is who I am and this is what I believe, period. And I got to be like that before it works. Oh, glory to God. I got to be like that before it works. See, that's the key. See, most people understand. You look at me now and say, oh, yeah, I can see how you can preach that. But you should have saw me 21 years ago, 22 years ago when I didn't have nothing. I was still bold in believing, still bold in talking. Because I was fully persuaded. My state in life has nothing to do with what the Word of God says. The Word is not true because it works for me. It's true because God said it. And I'm not trying to test whether it's true by looking and see who is it working for. I believe it's true because he said it. If it ain't working for nobody else, it's going to work for me because I'm going to do it like he said. So I believe what the Word says about who I am. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm an ambassador. I believe I'm an ambassador. I'm fully persuaded. I'm from another world. I believe what the Word says I can do. It says I can do all. I believe it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So in the measure of my assignment, my call, and my responsibility, I don't need experience. My credentials is right here. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, as I close this, are y'all getting stirred? Yes. So you got to believe that new house is possible. You got to believe increase is possible. You got to believe it. You may not see it and they may not know how it's going to happen. Don't even matter right now. But you got to be ready to go. I'm ready to move. Amen, amen. I don't care if the people don't understand me around me. It doesn't matter to me. They don't understand. They understand it better by and by. Mark 9, 23, are you there? Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believe. So I believe what the Word of God says about who I am. I believe what the Word of God says about what I can do. I believe what the Word of God says about my enemies. No weapon. Come on, you know it. Formed against me shall prosper. So what you word for? What are you word for? If you believe that, what you word for? Sometimes somebody just have to remind you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I remember years ago, a guy was talking about me on television and doing all this kind of stuff for me, and I was talking to my father in the faith, Dr. Price, and he says so calmly, Ira, they can't hurt you. I mean, that's all he said. And I thought about it. The Bible said, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. So what's the big deal? So they talking about you. So they trying to get you fired. So nothing. Come on, either you got to believe it or not. Nothing shall by any means. Amen. So my strategy is drafted from the Word of God. And we'll look at the strategy in the next session. And I'm going to give you 7 points. We're not going to deal with them in this lesson. We're going to deal with another one. My strategy is about the possibility of winning, the power for winning, the perspective on winning, the principles for winning, planning to win, partnering to win, and performing to win. It's time to get ready to win. Either you're going to walk by what your what the standards say and what statistics say or stereotypes say, or you're going to walk by what the Spirit of God says in His Word. I decided years ago I'd live a spiritual life. I'd see the supernatural. And in this next session, we're going to talk about the mentality of a winner. Because when you leave here, I want you to think different. And you can change your thinking like that. Now, it don't take long. I change, like my wife can tell you, I change, boom, just like that. When I got the truth and understood, I already tried the way I was trying for years and was messing up, wasn't making it. It didn't take a whole lot of convincing to me to change. I don't know why it takes folks so long. Look, what you've been doing got you where you are. Come on, just kind of say, what you've been doing got you where you are. You've been trying to hook and crook and scheme, lie. You've been doing that all your life. And you're still no better off. You've been waiting for your settlement. Your settlement done come and go. Come on, it's time to say, okay, God, let's go. I believe I can win. Working by the rules. I'm out of time. Dr. B. Next session.